the Award Podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 205 in what has now officially become a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks. We've got a little bit of a different show for you this week. Originally planning on pulling something from the archives, putting it back out there, one of my favorite episodes, but then something happened to me yesterday. I'm recording this on Friday. Something happened to me yesterday, and I felt the need to tell this story. So that's what we're going to do today. A little bit different. We've done this before in the past. Kind of had a story episode, and it's turned out good. It's turned out good. It always seems to be something that's kind of sad, but we'll power through. We'll power through, everyone, and we'll get you some free entertainment, right? So at the top of the show, we're just gonna do some plugs here because there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff coming up, man, that we need to tell you guys about, and then we'll get into story time. One of the things that we got to tell you about, holy crap. The final show of one of my favorite bands here in Seattle is happening on July 24th, Thursday, July 24th at 8 p.m. At the Crocodile. It's always really nice to get asked to host something or be an MC for an event. This is part of my life now, right? This happens. And it's really nice to be acknowledged in that way. Like, hey, will you come and do this with us? We respect what you do, and we want you to be a part of it. That's an amazing thing, right? It's a good feeling. It's a really good feeling. I'm not going to lie. This one really takes the cake. This is going to be an absolute honor to be at the Quiet Ones' final show on Thursday, July 24th. I will be the MC for the show. Let's see, a couple more musical acts. Boat will be there performing, and Marty Marquis of the band Blitzen Trapper will also be there. We'll be giving away a ton of free stuff from the Quiet Ones, including T-shirts and possibly some albums and things like that, and just overall having a great time. There's also a reading of some hate mail by the one and only Ira Glass that will be taking place as well. So, the Quiet Ones, one of my favorite bands, one of my favorite Seattle bands. And we had John Totten, one of the lead guys, on the show a little while back. I think it's like episode 142. So go ahead and go listen to that. That was a fun time. John's a great dude, and he's an amazing musician and writer. And so I'm really although I'm very sad to see this band break up, it's also just, like I said, an absolute honor to be able to share this experience with them. So if you're listening, John, thank you so much, man. And I'm looking forward to being a part of it. You can get tickets for $8 advance right now over at the crocodile.com events page. So go and check that out. Get your tickets now. It's going to be a great show. Thursday, July 24th, 8 p.m. So hope to see you there. Also, it's going to be a busy, busy week. What is that, next week? Is that next week? No, it's in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. It's going to be a busy, busy week for me, man, because I got that going on Thursday night. Then Friday, we're going over to Timberfest. Yeah, that's right, Timberfest, man. And I'm going to be doing some emceeing at Timberfest over in Carnation, Washington on the 26th of July, on Saturday. I don't know if I'm doing anything on Friday the 25th, but it's going to be awesome because I get to bring up Jay Maskus of Dinosaur Jr. to the stage, man, the campfire stage. It's going to be so cool. Talk about a dream come true, man. I'm a little nervous to meet that guy. I've heard he's a little bit prickly. So maybe we'll have a chat with him, or maybe not. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Maybe it'll happen. But it might be shitty if it does, right? Might be another Buzz Osborne experience. We'll see. We'll see. Okay. So I hope you guys can make it out to Timberfest as well. Remember, the winner of our contest, our ticket giveaway for the 3 days, 24th, 25th, and 26th, out at Carnation, Washington for Timberfest was Courtney Westby. Courtney Westby, you do not have to buy tickets. You and a friend do not have to buy tickets or pay for camping out at the Timberfest. Just email us, Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at air-raid.net. And give us your information because we need to get that to the Timber people. We haven't heard from Courtney yet, so maybe we'll pick somebody else. Who knows? We're going to be featuring music from the Quiet Ones all throughout the episode today from their amazing album Molt in Moments, which is it's awesome. It's so good. It's so good. And this is one of those underrated bands in Seattle. I do say it because it's true, and they're just fantastic, man. I mean the songmanship, is that a word? The songmanship is that it's got to be, right? Okay, the songmanship on this album is just it's great, it's amazing, and I'm sad to see these guys go. Let's do this. Let's go to our first musical break, shall we? And then when we get back, I'm gonna tell you guys this story, something that happened to me yesterday that made me think a lot about stuff and life and where I'm at and how grateful I am to be this. Not this. That's a bad way to say it. But how grateful I am to have friends and family and the place that I'm in. How's that? How's that for a lead? Yeah. Okay. Let's do this. First musical break. This is called You Are a Trial, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I left early yesterday from work over on the east side of the water, as I am wont to do on my last days before the weekend. I got Friday off for some doctor's appointments that I had to do today. Pretty much a full day of doctor's appointments. I've got one in the morning and one in the afternoon. So I took the full day off. And of course, I feel compelled to leave early because that's the start of my weekend. Plus, it was such a hot day yesterday. It was so beautiful. And it's been getting very humid here in the Pacific Northwest, which, you know, if you have to work in, is not the greatest. So I leave early. And on days like that, I love riding my scooter, man. It's a great time to be on a bike or a scooter or a motorcycle. It's wonderful. The wind is whipping through your shirt, and it kind of cools you down on the ride home. Not the same story if it's raining out, by the way, right? Yeah, I've told you guys about that. But it was very nice. It was very nice. I put my headphones on, warmed up my bike, stopped and got some gas, even though I still had a half tank left. I don't know why I decided to. Just fill it up, right? And was listening to one of my buddies, Luke Burbank and Andrew Walsh on the TBTL podcast, pumping that into my ears as I rode home. As I came to a stoplight, a long line of cars was building up, and I came to a stoplight. I looked over at one of my favorite bars near my home, and outside of this bar is a large steel box. It's a donation box for clothing. And it's painted purple. And I noticed a woman, a younger woman, propping herself up on the door of this thing, right? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? There's a hinged door at the top of this thing. It's almost like a large mailbox, right? It's a hinged door, and you pull that down. It's got a little basket in it. And then on the back side of that is another hinged door that comes closed as that thing opens, basically to keep you from doing what this woman was attempting to do, which was reach in and grab clothes out of it. And as I saw her doing that, I felt bad for watching her, right? Because it felt like I was turning it into a spectacle. It was like a sideshow, right? Watching this woman precariously perched on top of this thing, doing something that you shouldn't be doing really out in the open, right? But at the same time, as I looked away, I thought to myself about how fortunate I have been in my life to not end up in her position, right? There was a time in my life where it was a distinct possibility that that could happen to me. I had a drug problem that I dealt with through my own way. I was addicted to pills. I had a problem with pills, man. Everything from Ambien to OxyContin, I would take and shovel it down my throat. And it got to the point where it was so bad that it was hurting. I could feel it in my gut. Something was wrong with my stomach at one point. It never got so bad to where I had to go to the hospital, but maybe I should have. But there was a point in time where my bowel movements were white. They were completely white for a period. And if it wasn't for my family that shipped me off to college, basically forcing me into going to the university and moving away from my hometown, I don't know where I would be right now. It's a distinct possibility that I could have been in the same spot as this young woman, right? So I'm not looking at her, but I do kind of look back over. As I'm stopped at this stoplight, I look back over. And as I look back over, thinking to myself, how fortunate I am, right? And that's not to say that I'm not sitting there on my high horse, right? There is some sentiment in my thoughts about this young woman, and man, you know, life's hard, you know, for some people, and how fortunate I am. I'm not trying to put a spin on that and make it sound like, you know what I'm saying. I'm not trying to make it sound like, God dang, my life is good, right? But as I look over, still stopped at this stoplight. I catch this woman out of the side of my eye, fall into this steel box. Like right as I look over, I look over just in time to see her slide into the steel box, and her leg is the only thing sticking out of the door now, and it's stuck. And I can hear her start. I'm just in shock at what I've just seen. Right, some you know, God, if you saw that on America's Funniest Home Videos, that short clip, you might think it's funny, right? You put some funny sound drops behind it, a Boeing or Benny Hill soundtrack. You might think it's funny. And I was just in shock. I was like, holy shit! Look at that! I've never seen that before. But then I can hear her screaming, and I start to think to myself. And mind you, I still have my headphones on. I'm still piping a podcast into my ears, and I can hear, and I have a helmet on over that. And I can hear her screaming from inside this steel box. And what's immediately going through my mind is, oh my God, what are you going to do? What, you need to help her. What's, how do you do that, right? Because now I'm in traffic. So I turn my, I'm looking both ways to see whoever else has seen it. And what's happening is somebody else rushing over to help her. There's a man walking across he's walking on the sidewalk right next to this donation box. And he doesn't even look up. He walks right past it. The girl fell in right in front of his face, and he walks right past it. Doesn't even look up from his phone. He doesn't have headphones in or anything, but I can hear her screaming from inside the box. I can hear her screaming for help. And I'm like, well, nobody else is doing anything. I got to get over there. And so a sense of urgency kind of all of a sudden comes over me, and I run over. I pick up my scooter. I don't know how I did this. The scooter is very heavy, folks. It must have been some sort of adrenaline coursing through my system, because I picked up my scooter and put it on top of the curb and rode it onto the sidewalk and parked it. Meantime, I'm yelling at this guy who just walked past to come over and help me. He looks up at me with this dumbfounded look as to, why am I yelling at him, right? And I point at the woman's leg and I say, hey, come over and help me. And so he kind of shuffles over, slowly, which is weird. But I'm not thinking about that, right? I rush over to the woman and I put my hand on her ankle to reassure her that somebody is there to help. And I can still hear her screaming. I haven't had time to take off my helmet yet. And I can still hear her screaming. And so finally, I put my hand on her ankle. And I say, hey, somebody's here. I'm here to help you. I'm going to get you out of there. I'm going to get you unstuck. And as at that moment, I take off my helmet. And as my hand is still on her ankle to kind of just reassure her, I notice that this thing, this door that's clamping down on her leg, her left leg, has shaved off a 3-inch strip of skin off of her shin, right? There's a little bit of blood starting to flow off of the door. And I notice this and I'm like, oh my God, that's bone. It's cut all the way down to the bone. And there's this little flap of skin that's still left hanging there. And it's over top of the door, right? I know this is kind of graphic, but it's over top of the door. And so I instantly take my hand off of her leg, because obviously if I'm moving it around, it's going to hurt, right? But it's so, everything happened so quick. She wasn't really bleeding yet, but I can see her shin bone. And so I start reassuring her that everything's going to be okay. I'm like, okay, are you all right? Are you all right? And she's yelling back at me that she thinks her arm is dislocated. And she's kind of screaming. And I said, okay. And I look back at the guy and I'm like, what are we, you need to call 911. Because instantly I'm realizing, okay, well, I can't pull her out of this thing because there's another door in there that is going to stop that from happening, right? So I tell this man to call 911 because I'm thinking, wow, okay, well, we're going to have to shove her in there. And then who's going to open this door? There's a huge lock on it. We got to call 911. And so the man goes, okay, yeah, sure. And so he starts calling 911. Meanwhile, the woman inside is saying, don't call 911. She's yelling at us. All of a sudden, she's not screaming out in pain. She's screaming out at us to not call 911. Obviously, because she was doing something illegal. She was stealing. She was stealing donated clothes. She doesn't want to get arrested. I don't want to get her arrested, but I don't know how I'm going to get her out of this box. Right? Difficult situation. Difficult situation. We'll be right back. We'll finish this story up after our next musical break. This is The Quiet Ones with I Am Waiting off of Molten Moments. We'll be back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears in just a moment.
Will you meet me where I'm at in the middle of the world? There are sirens in the dark. Will you cover up my ears and guard my heart? Soft decay as it trails into the past. All the night has turned to day. There are whispers in the trees. When I open up my eyes, will you be beside me, please?
Now keep in mind that this is a steel box that has been sitting out in the direct sunlight all day long. On an 80 degree day in high humidity, and it's hot, it's still hot at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I can feel the waft of super heated warm air coming out of this box. And so this, in my mind, was a dangerous situation that was exacerbated by the heat that was coming out of here. And so without anything else to do, and without the help of this man who was now not calling 911 because the woman told him to stop, I lifted up on the woman's leg and told her to get ready. And as I did that, her little flap of skin that was still there was pushed out. And I could see the bone, and it started to bleed. And so I took her leg off of the door, reached my hand in, and opened up the inner door so her leg could slide in, and she fell to the bottom of this box. This box is about 6 feet tall, maybe a little bit less than that. Now, once inside, we were lucky because a man and his girlfriend had noticed what was going on and pulled into the parking lot. The man jumped out of the car and started to help immediately. And I said, thank you for coming. And I told the woman inside the box, I was like, okay, we got to figure out how to get you out of here. Now that she was down and inside the box, she told us to just forget it, to go away. She could get herself out. And I told her, I was like, look, honey, I don't feel right just leaving you here. We need to get you out of there. It's so hot. You don't have any water in there. We need to get you out. And so she eventually agreed And she leaned down and pick up this shirt to tie a tourniquet around her leg, which was now bleeding profusely. And she looked up, and I had the door open, and I could finally see her face. She was very pretty woman. And our eyes met, and at that moment, it was a very profound experience. I could see the pain in her eyes. Her eyes were all that I could see, really, at the time. And I could see the pain in her eyes. And as she was looking straight at me, she said, "All I wanted was some clothes. I just need some clothes." And I told her at that moment, "It's fine, it's fine. Everything's going to be okay. We just need to get you out of this box." I don't know what else to say. I didn't know what else to do. I'm looking over at this man who came to help, and we have no words for each other. We're just two strangers trying to help somebody out, right? You'd do the same thing if you saw it. Anybody would. Well, hopefully. I guess the man standing behind me that was calling 911 didn't think much of that idea. But we had to figure out how to get her out. And at that moment, which seemed like 5 minutes later, as she was, you know, trying to get us to go away and then conceding and saying, "Okay, well, I could probably use some help getting out of here." So we flipped down the door. As we're holding up, me and this other guy are holding up the inner door so it doesn't flip down. And she is climbing up onto the inside door. And so we finagle it to where she can get up onto the outer door, still holding up the inside door, and she can climb up on that. And she gets up onto the top, and she finally comes out, thanking us profusely and climbing down. And the other guy, thank God, this other guy showed up because he was way stronger than I was, and he was able to pick her up and put her down. Now, at this time, she's saying, "Oh, my God, I think my arm got dislocated in there and then popped back into place." And you could see it was a little bruised and a little worse for wear. And as her leg was caught in this thing, right? As her leg was caught in this thing, this is one part that I left out, but we should probably put it back in, is that as this thing is clamping down on her leg, as she's squirming and trying to get out, the thing is tightening around her leg. Her leg is caught. She is by the skin, and it's clamped down on her. And it's breaking her shin slowly, right? It's just breaking it. And think of that pain. Think of the pain, all to get some free clothes, all to get some clothes. I shouldn't say free. I'll just get some clothes that you can wear, that you need. Right? And so she climbs out, and we get her out onto the ground, and I offer to take her to the hospital. I say, you can ride on the back of my scooter. I'll take you to the hospital. You need to get to the hospital." She's like, No. I can't. She asked me for a cigarette. I don't smoke anymore. I wish I did at that point, because I would have given her a whole pack. But I did offer to buy her some food. I said, Do you need some food? Are you hungry?" And she said no, she refused that as well. I think pride was getting in the way a little bit. She said she was very embarrassed. She also said that her friend has done this many times before and never slid down into it. She said, "I don't know what happened." And at that point, the other people were climbing back into their car, and I asked her, are you going to be okay?" She said, "Yeah, I'll be fine. I'll get to the doctor." I said, "Okay. All right." She said, "All I needed was some clothes." I said, I know. It's fine. And I grabbed the clothes. She had still grabbed a handful of clothes out of this thing. That was the need, right? I mean, this was a desperate situation, and she still grabbed some of the clothes out of the steel box to bring out with her. And I gave her the pile of clothes that she grabbed, because you know what? Frankly, she deserved it, man. You go through something like that, for a pile of donated clothes, you get the clothes, right? You get to keep the clothes. So I gave her the clothes, and she said she would be fine. And I got back on my scooter, and I took off. And my heart was pounding at this point. I was still just, there was some adrenaline in me. And you may be listening to this, you may be saying, that doesn't sound like that intense of a situation. But being in it, and now that I look back at it, yeah, it probably was. I mean, that's not the most tense situation that you can find yourself in. But nobody was coming to help this woman. Think about that. Nobody saw it. Nobody heard her. Nobody looked up. Not even the guy who walked right past it, who had nothing in his ears except for traffic noise. I could hear her screaming through my helmet, through my headphones. It was that loud, and nobody noticed. Right? This could have been a very different situation for that woman if I didn't see it. Now, that may sound like I'm boasting, or it may sound like I am inflating my own ego, thinking of myself with a hero complex. I am not doing that. That is not the intent of this story. That is not the intent at all. The intent of this story is to reflect on something crazy that happened to me yesterday, and that happened to this woman, right? And that happened to the man that I yelled at to come and help. Happened to a group of six of us, to be exact. And I'll remember that for the rest of my life, especially the look on that woman's face as I looked through the door and saw the look of despair and pain in her eyes. And I don't think I'll forget that anytime soon. Now, as I drove away, I did think about what I failed to do in that situation and what I failed to say to her to comfort her in a time of embarrassment and in a time of need. Now, although I did offer to her some food, I offered to take her to the hospital, what I didn't offer her is compassion, maybe. I don't know. But what I should have said was, it's okay. It's okay. I don't judge you for needing clothes. Your life experience has brought you to this place and your place of need. And that's not my, I'm not there to judge you for that. There's enough people in this world that do that. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to judge you for that. It's okay. It's okay that you need clothes. All I want is for you to be all right. That's what I should have said. And if I'm ever in a situation again, in a spot like that, or similar to it, that's what I will say. And that's what I want you guys to take away from this story. Be aware of your surroundings and show compassion to the people around you, because you don't know the backstory. Right? And who knows, man? You could be driving down the street one day and see somebody get into a spot of real trouble just for doing something stupid. Yeah, it was dumb of her to try to get the clothes out of the donation bin. There's easier ways to go about something like that, right? But she did it. We all do stupid shit. We all do stupid shit sometimes. And it can end your life. I am convinced, like I said earlier, that if I didn't see that, this story would have had a much, much different outcome. She could have been stuck in there for days. Who knows? Who knows? Nobody was going to help her. Help your fellow man, man. That's what we're all here for, right? To help each other out a little bit. We can't help everybody, but if you see somebody in need, and you see somebody hurting, probably a good thing to stop for a second and offer a hand, right? I know that going forward, that's what I'm going to try to do. I mean, like I said earlier too, I've been very fortunate in how my life turned out. It could have been very different. And for a lot of my friends who I was involved with during my troubled years, it did turn out very different. A lot of people have died in my life. And a lot of people are probably in that young woman's position right now. She just needed some clothes. That's it.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. For it to go away.
It was a very profound experience for me yesterday, and even though it doesn't sound like something that was that special, and sounds a little crazy, I mean, it touched a chord, right? It touched a chord with me. And I'm not trying to boast, I'm just trying to tell this story, just trying to relay some information. We had I posted this on Facebook, not as detailed. Of course, because I wrote it on my phone. A lot of people said, hey, that's an amazing story. Thank you for sharing. But a couple people, some of which I deleted, said, this is boasting. You're taking a bad situation and you're creating buzz around it for your own good. This is not my intent. Like I said earlier, it's not my intent to boast. What my intent is to share this story and hopefully strike a chord in some of you listening to take action and be aware of what's going on around you. Don't be the guy that's walking along the sidewalk and doesn't even pay attention. Nobody wants to be that guy, but there are those guys out there. I hope you guys didn't take it as boasting, and I hope you enjoyed the story. I know it's going to be a shorter episode this week. But we really appreciate you guys listening. A couple things before we go here. Be safe. Be safe. Keep hydrated, especially if you're in the Seattle area or the Washington area in general. It's supposed to be very, very hot this weekend. So I hope you guys all have a great one and that you wear your sunscreen and you keep a bottle of water near you. Okay? And if you see somebody on the beach that's having trouble, man, help them out. Help them out. Don't be afraid to help them out, okay? Adrenaline can do some amazing things. I'm a very weak person, but I managed to pick up a whole scooter and put it on top of a sidewalk. 250 pounds, maybe even heavier than that. That's what I figure anyway. But I picked the whole damn thing up, man, put it right on top of the sidewalk. Pretty proud of that. We appreciate you guys listening. We do have to say thank you very much to listener Mike Frizzell, who is also the host of the Takedown podcast, which I had the pleasure of being on recently over in Texas. He donated to the show $25. That was very, very nice. Thank you so much, sir. And you can donate as well by going to our website, www.air-raid.net, and clicking on the donate button there on the top left. Because it does help keep the lights on here in the backyard. So we really appreciate that. Also, we couldn't do this without the help of our great sponsors, Naked City Brewery, located in Greenwood neighborhood of Seattle. And they are just wonderful people, wonderful beer, wonderful food. So go and check them out. And tell them that you heard about them on the Air Raid podcast, because of course that helps us out and that helps them out. And then that helps you out, because now you know of a great place to go and eat and drink. Great food, great beer, great people. Naked City Brewery and Tap House there on Greenwood Avenue in North Seattle. Thanks again for listening, everybody. We're going to go out today with another song by The Quiet Ones off of their album Molt in Moments. This song is called Silver Veins. And we'll be back next week with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. With special guests next week, Future Folk. Have you seen that movie on Netflix? It's fantastic. It's so good. It's so good. We'll be talking to the two stars of the movie and then featuring some music from them as well. So thank you everyone for listening. It's been a pleasure this week. I really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed the story. Remember, look up, look around you, be aware. Have a good weekend.
Buried them inside a water whiff, water that I Yes, I did. Yes, I did. For it to go away. Yes, I did.